In today's world, we find a child who has a room full of action figures, video games, cable TV, DVR, every piece of sports equipment known to man, and has his own smartphone, of course, and a fully loaded computer with internet access, high-speed internet access. But he doesn't have anything to do. He is bored. Just bored. Boredom is the plague of every parent with a child out of school. The cries of, "I'm bored," seem to begin just hours after school lets out. But boredom is not just an irritation. Boredom is a spiritual problem. People with time on their hands get into all sorts of mischief. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 11 through 15, speaking about younger widows, Paul tells Timothy to refuse younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, not only idle, but gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire younger widows to marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some have already turned aside after Satan. We know that boredom leads to all kinds of problems in the world. Drug use, alcohol abuse, every conceivable thing that people can find to try and find some new way to get a thrill. Boredom often motivates adultery and leads to divorce. In fact, boredom often leads people in despair to take their own life. But let's look at the cause, or some of the causes, of boredom. In our scripture reading, there's only two scriptures out of the whole reading, that out of the whole thing that I wanted, but the rest of them were interesting. And as he was reading, I think, oh, what's the lesson about tonight? Mm. We did that intentionally, right, Mark? But one of the problems that comes to people who become bored is the overindulgences. In overindulgence, there is a law of diminishing returns. In Proverbs 25 and verse 16, notice, "Have you found honey? Eat as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit." Now, I don't know how many of you have ever eaten enough honey to cause you to upcheck, but you can only eat so much. It's just too sweet. But moderation, overindulgence is a problem. In Proverbs 25 and verse 27, notice down here, "It is not good to eat much honey. So to seek one's own glory is not glory." We can understand there are limits to the amount of a good thing that we can handle before it indeed becomes harmful to us. When pleasure becomes the first priority, the result, ironically, is boredom. The symptoms of a pleasure-obsessed age is boredom. Ceaseless pleasures cause ceaseless efforts by people to rekindle the initial thrill whenever they finally reach the point of boredom. What can we do to make it more exciting? And that, by the way, is why video games get more and more involved and more violent and well, I'll not pursue that any further, but you understand what I mean. Another thing that is a sign of this boredom is moral decay. What do we see as a result of this boredom? Well, we see in Ezekiel chapter 16, I want to begin reading verse 49. Look, was this the iniquity of your sister Sodom? She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. Now, what about Sodom and Gomorrah? What was the problem over there? Moral decay. But look what he says. They had plenty of food, but they also had an abundance of idleness. They were bored. And what was their end? He said, I took them away as I saw fit. We also notice in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15 how fatness leads to leaving God. Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat. You grew thick. You are obese. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. Plenty. He had everything he wanted. But what did God do? God took him away. You know, heroin addicts have to take bigger and bigger doses of heroin to achieve an ever diminishing high. And so they steal. They do everything possible within their power to get drugs. And that's one of the reasons why we have to lock our doors at night. Movies that once titillated their audiences with subtle innuendos have to become more and more explicit to keep the audiences entertained, or to keep the money coming in, actually. It's the breaking of taboos that gives the thrill. In Proverbs 9:17, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. People keep stepping over the line of propriety to get their thrills. And you know what happens? The line keeps moving. The line keeps moving. And as their conscience becomes seared, it takes more and more to excite them. Truly, covetousness and greed doesn't bring happiness, but sorrow. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, Paul told Timothy that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many a sorrows. When a child is bored, there's a temptation to solve the problem by giving them more things. Isn't that it? Instead of helping them, we are perpetuating it. Instead of improving it, we're causing the child even more harm. When adults get bored, unfortunately, the same solution is sought. We buy ourselves goodies to make ourselves feel better. If we can't afford it, it's all right. We just add it to our credit card. Until we suddenly wake up swimming in a sea of despair and can't figure out how we're going to pay the bills on these credit cards that we've piled up big balances on. But another cause of boredom is under exertion. In Proverbs 19:15, the wise man tells us, laziness casts one into a deep sleep. An idle person will suffer hunger. Laziness results in deep sleep. We don't have the energy to do anything except lay there and rest and sleep and just do nothing. And slothful persons will, and according to the proverb, a slothful person is like a door that turns on its hinges. What does that mean? It goes back and forth and back and forth. So does the lazy man in his bed. Lack of work makes us disorderly and busybodies. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 11, we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but they are busybodies. The lazy is too bored to even enjoy his own indulgences. In the 19th chapter of Proverbs, in verse 24, a lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not do so much as to bring it out to his mouth. You can just picture that, can't you? He puts his hand in the bowl, but just can't lift it back up again. That's the lazy man. A lazy man does not enjoy what he has. In Proverbs 12:27, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. Lazy man might actually indulge himself in a little bit of hunting, but he's so lazy when he comes back, he doesn't cook what he shot or what he was able to capture in hunting. He's just lazy. Now, said all that to say this. I want to solve the problem. What is the problem? Well, the problem is we're in a society where people are just bored with everything. They've got 200 plus channels on TV and nothing to watch. Why? Well, they're all bored. Just bored. What's the solution? Well, one of the solutions is contentment. When will we learn that life is not defined by the abundance of things we own? I remember a bumper sticker. In fact, I've seen it again recently, but a long time ago I saw this, and it really hit home. He who dies with the most toys wins. And that's the way a lot of people live. That's the way a lot of people live. But we're told in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness. Why? For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Your life is not made up of how much you can gain in this world or how much you can possess. In fact, really, in many cases, more is less. Or less is more. I get it right. Less is more. Let me get that. Yeah, less is more. I had to think about that for a second. Let's look at Proverbs 15. I want to read a few verses out of Proverbs 15. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Notice, just a little bit and the fear of the Lord is a whole lot better than having a lot of treasure and trouble. Again, verse 17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Notice. A family gathered around a table where there's nothing but a dinner of herbs, and the family is filled with love, is better than a fatted calf and a whole bunch of people around the table who hate each other. See that? Proverbs 16, verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Well, we can understand that easy enough. Chapter 17 and verse 1. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 6. Better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the wind. We don't need a lot of the things that we think we have to have. In fact, I'll suggest something to you to think about. More will lead us away from God, and less will bring us closer to God. And that's an axiomatic truth. An axiomatic truth. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Look at 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. How much are you going to take with you when you leave this earth? None. None. Having food, clothing, with these shall we be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Are you happy? Or are you worrying about where you're going to find another dollar to get that something you want? Or to pay for that something you already got? If you never gained another possession. Think about it now, right now. If you never gained another possession, if you never received another pay raise, would you be content with your lot in life? Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. Paul wrote, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, he explains it. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. And notice what verse is connected to that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Need to think about that when it comes to contentment. But not only contentment in solving the problem, also there needs to be diligence in solving the problem. Our approach to life often determines our attitude towards life. In Proverbs 23 and verse 7, the wise man wrote, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. In Mark chapter 7, verses 21 and 22, Jesus gets down to what is meant by this in Proverbs 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. What are you saying, Lord? Sins come from the heart. They're the result of our attitude of heart. The answer to boredom is not to be bored. Not to be bored. If you allow yourselves to be bored, you will be. Those who decided that they won't be bored won't be. That's right. Most situations either live up to or live down to our expectations. Now, that brings us to another question. Are you bored in the assemblies? I would say, a lot of people would say, well, yes, I'm bored. I want some rock music. I want something happening. A little bit of fireworks now and then, you know, and a rock and roll band. Yeah. Okay. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, talking to you and talking to me, not lagging in diligence, fervent and spirit, serving the Lord. Now, what does this tell me? It tells me to be diligent in service, to be fervent in spirit. Whenever I am in an assembly of the Lord's people, I'm not there to be entertained. I'm not there to see the show. I'm there to worship my Lord and my God. Too many people have the idea that churches perform services for people. That's right. And when they come in, they expect some services. They want to get serviced. Well, I got news for them. They're part of the service. And the service isn't for them, it's to God. That's what it is. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, Paul writes, God is not unjust to forget your work of labor and love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Diligence. How can we avoid sluggishness and show diligence? Well, whatever we do, we're to do it with all of our ability. In Colossians 3 and verses 23 and 24, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Now, can we qualify that any? Whatever you do. That's pretty much everything you do. Everything you do. Do it heartily. as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, wise man of old wrote, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Life is your only chance, and you best make the best of it. But also involved in solving this problem is growth. Now, notice how often this is mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice, if you're busy improving yourself, improving your knowledge, you will not be bored. You will not be bored. Unlike indulgences, there is no diminishing returns to spiritual growth. The life of a Christian involves an endless growth in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which, remember, Peter over there in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 talked about. He said, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. But another thing we need to do besides grow is be someone new. Now you say, what are you talking about, be someone new? Well, quite simply, don't live for yourself any longer, but live for Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 17, the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Some versions read new creature. A new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We no longer think in terms of what I want, or what makes me happy, or why am I bored? But we live for Christ. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says to the brethren at Rome, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to be a new person, not the old fleshly man crying out for all the things that satisfy the flesh. In John 15, verse 8, Jesus said, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Our goal is glorifying God. That's what our goal is. Glorifying God. There's no boredom in glorifying God. Believe me. We're always seeking ways which we can bring glory to God and bring honor to His name. But not whenever we allow ourselves to be caught up in this world and the things of this world. Are you bored? Are you bored? Well, it's time for you to get out of it. Stop being bored. Put your eyes on things that are important in this life. And stop thinking about the things that serve to sway us away from God. And turn us to the things of this life.